The book of Judges, Old Testament book of Judges, fifth chapter, and we'll look at verse 7 as our scripture point of emphasis, but we'll actually come through 4 and 5. But Judges chapter 5, verse 7, if you have it, say agape. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord, and the scriptures read, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Can I read it one more time? Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. And from this passage of scripture, we want to use as a subject this morning a victorious mother. A victorious mother. You may be seated. A victorious mother. This being Mother's Day, just wanted to issue a word to our mothers this morning, a word of encouragement, also a word of a challenge, word of challenge. I want to challenge mothers this morning. We understand that we live in difficult times as it relates to being a mother. When you really look at the culture in which we live, the absenteeism of fathers, godly men in the lives of their wives or even in the lives of their children, mothers need words of encouragement. Mothers need to be encouraged in the times in which we live. Have I got a witness? It's a very, 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 very difficult time right now for many mothers in trying to raise their children. And trying to deal with this culture in which we live. Difficult time. And so we want to encourage mothers this morning, but also want to challenge you, mothers. Is that all right this morning? From the book of Judges. Judges is an Old Testament book. And the book of Judges, if you really look at it, Judges' sequel is pretty much like this. God has led his people Israel out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's bondage, and led them into the promised land. And now they are in the promised land. God warned them to stay away from the gods and all of the things in the new promised land. But the children of Israel, being rebellious, rebelled against God, embraced the gods of their culture, married women that God had forbidden them to marry, and all of this interaction with the culture. And because of the rebellion against God, God would allow enemies to come and overtake Israel and subdue, and Israel would be subjected to those enemies within their culture. Are y'all with me this morning? And they did it over and over and over again. And then God would allow the enemy to overtake them. But then Israel would cry out to God, asking God, God, please send a deliverer. God, please do something about my situation. God, this is tough for me right now. God, I know I messed up. God, please forgive me. God, I need you right now. And God, being the merciful God that he is, would raise up a deliverer, a judge, to lead his children out of captivity, out of that subjection to those enemy nations. God would do that. But then they turn right back around and become rebellious against God. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all know, God, if you're getting me out of this one. Oh, God, I know I messed up, God. God, I know I did wrong, God. But God, if you would just get me out of this one, God, I'll never turn back on you again. God, I'll serve you for the rest of my days. And then God delivers me out of that circumstances, and then we forget all about what God has done in our life. Am I the only one in here this morning? Listen, in Desert Storm, 1990, whole lot of people came to Jesus because we didn't know what was about to happen over there. Saddam had Scud missiles. We didn't know what was going on. I led the Bible study over there. We had folks in Bible study that ain't never thought about church. I got even more spiritual back then, and I'm leading Bible study. Oh, Bible study attendance shot off the charts right around that time. But as soon as God delivered us from Desert Storm, soon as God drove those Iraqis out of Kuwait, soon as the airplane landed right back in Texas at Fort Hood, Texas, as soon as that plane landed, got off of that plane and went right back to doing the same old stuff that we did before. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Judges is all about God's people being delivered by God. God, turn around, deliver them, and then they cry out, and then God deliver them again, over and over and over again. And really, I want to just talk about this. God raised up the first judge. The first judge was Othniel. God raised up Othniel to deliver Israel from Cushan Rishathaim. This was a king of Mesopotamia. And God raised up Othniel and used Othniel to bring Israel from under this Mesopotamian king and free God's people. And the people had peace for 40 years. 40 years. But then Othniel died. And when Othniel died, guess what they did? They went right back to doing the same old stuff that they were doing before. And then God allowed the enemies to come in and overtake them. And guess what? They began crying out to God. And then God raised up Ehud. Ehud was a left-handed judge. He was a bad boy with his left hand. He had a double-edged sword. And Ehud had to deal with King Eglon. King Eglon was the king of Moab. And King Eglon had subdued God's people. And Ehud snuck in on him with his blade, with his double-edged sword. He was left-handed, and so he kept the blade strapped to his right leg. And got in there with the king and was talking to the king. King thought he was coming in peace. And Ehud, when he saw the opportunity, reached and grabbed his blade. And the Bible says he thrust it into King Eglon's stomach. King Eglon was a big man. And he thrust his double-edged sword into the man's stomach. And the king died. The king died. And God's people were liberated from under this subjection of this evil king. And then the Bible says that God's people had peace for 80 years. For 80 years. But then Ehud died. And when Ehud died, guess what the people did? They went right back to doing the same old things that they were doing before. And now they cry out to God again. Now, what's amazing about it this time is that now the Bible doesn't say anything about God raising up another judge. All we know is that Deborah came on the scene. Oh, my goodness. Deborah came on the scene. And when you look at Judges chapter 4, it says right here in verse 3, it says the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. This is the king of Canaan, Jabin. 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now they've been in bondage 20 years, and they cry out to the Lord. But look at verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. Now with the previous kings, you see that the Bible says God raised them up. But in this case, it just says that Deborah, a prophetess, was judging Israel at that time. Are y'all with me this morning? Listen, there's not a whole lot about Deborah's background as far as which tribe she was from, her parents or what have you. But I just want to drop this on you. The name Deborah means honeybee. It means honeybee. In other words, she can sting you, or she can provide you with some honey. Let me just bring it all the way. Can I just bring it all the way home? Deborah is the original queen bee. She's the original queen bee. And Deborah had enough of what was going on in the land. And God used this woman, this mother, to issue what he wanted to do during this time. And I just want to say a few things about this passage of scripture. The passage that I read is a song that Deborah and Barak wrote. Chapter 5 is a song that Deborah and Barak wrote. Deborah and Barak are the original Peaches and Herb. The original Sonny and Cher. The original BB and CC. They were the first. They did a duet. A duet. Chapter 5 is a song by Deborah and Barak. Deborah and Barak. And it says, village life ceased. Cease until Deborah said, I arose a mother in Israel. And I just want to talk about a victorious mother this morning. Number one, about a victorious mother. Number one, a victorious mother is cognizant and concerned about her surroundings. A victorious mother is cognizant and concerned about her surroundings. Now in chapter 5, I'm going to go back between 5 and 4, but I want to start off in 5. A victorious mother is cognizant and concerned about her surroundings. All seas this morning. Judges 5, 6, and 8 says this. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, listen, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Listen, a victorious mother is cognizant and concerned of her surroundings. Listen, during this time, because Israel rebelled against God and God allowed the enemy to come in, the Bible says that the highways were deserted. The highways were deserted. Listen, business could not continue as usual. You could not just go into the streets like they were normal, used to doing at that particular time, because the enemy was controlling the streets. Are y'all with me this morning? Listen, we live in a time right now. We live in a time right now where Satan and his demons have raised up a generation that are controlling our streets. Are y'all with me? Listen. There used to be a time when you can just play wherever you wanted to play and didn't have to worry about a thing. And mamas, listen, if you're cognizant and concerned about your area, you need to be mindful of this. You can't let your kids go play with anybody. Parent, you better know where your kids are at. You don't know what's out there. The byways and the highways. The way we used to do things, we can't do those things no more. Dr. Tony Evans said it. He said it best. There was a time when an adult man can be walking down the sidewalk. And if two teenagers were coming his way, the teenagers would get off the sidewalk and allow that man to walk by. Times have changed. Listen. They'll look at you like you crazy and dare you to say something coming down the sidewalk. They not getting out of anybody's way. This generation now don't care. They are ruthless. Amen. I tell some of my partners from back in the day, them guys that was hard-headed back in the day, I'd say, man, y'all can't play with these young cats no more. These young cats are ruthless. They don't care. It's a different generation. And mothers, you need to understand that. Can't let your kid go spend the night anywhere. No, you better know who they're going, where they're going. You need to know the parents. Where you going? Who house you going to? Amen. That's what I love about my wife. My wife asks everything. She want to know it all. And y'all, listen, take advantage of the technology that we have now. They got technology that'll help you keep up with where they at. Yeah, young people, say amen. I flipped that on y'all. You take advantage of everything because it's dangerous out there on these streets. The enemy controlled the streets, and she was aware of that. But then it goes on to understand this. She said, village life ceased. It ceased in Israel. Ceased. Listen, village life, this is the picture that I really want you to get. The community in which they lived, there were no walls. There were no walls, and there were no warriors. No walls and no warriors. That's what that passage is saying, that no one was willing to fight. The men,
the men refused to fight. The men had given up during this time. There was no one to defend the community, no one to defend what the enemy was doing during those times. Village life ceased. And all we got to do, all we have to do is just stop and really think about what was going on then is happening right now. Men have quit. A lot of men just quit, gave up. Just quit, gave up, given over to the enemy. Not even willing to fight. Not even willing to fight. And Deborah said, village life ceased. But here's where it all goes back to. Look what it says right there in verse 8. It says, they chose new gods. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. That is the problem. Pastor Jay talked about materialism on Wednesday night. See, what it is materialism basically is idolatry, because you start worshiping creation rather than the creator. And what happened is they chose new gods. And that's what's going on in our culture. We have so many gods that we're not even paying attention to. That's the problem. When you choose new gods, we lose God's divine protection. God says, okay, you don't want me around? If you don't want me around, then I'll let you have whatever you want. If you want that God, if it's the car, if it's the clothes, if it's the house, if it's the TV, if it's the internet, those have become gods. You know how they gods? You know I know they gods? Because you spend more time with them. You spend more time with them. Listen, we have more idols than we can even imagine. And listen, I'm talking about representing last week. We got to put away this stuff. God told him to put away those idols. Can't play with that stuff. Can't play with that stuff. And listen, you know what your idols are, just like I know what mine's are. Somebody, come on, talk to me, y'all. Talk to me. Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. Listen, everybody has idols. And anything, it can't even be on the same plane with God. God says you should have no others beside me. God is sovereign. He's above all, and that's his rightful place. And we as the people of God got to keep him in his rightful place. But the men quit fighting. They gave up. They gave up. And I know even under the sound of my voice, there's a mother dealing with a man that quit. A man that gave up. And mother, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. But you need to be aware of what's going on around you. Have I got a witness? Listen. Judges 21:25 pretty much sums up. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In their own eyes. And Deborah understood the times. She knew what was going on during this time. And mother, you need to be cognizant and concerned. Listen, not just about your kids. Not just your kids, but the community. The entire community. Amen. Secondly, if you're going to be a victorious mother, you got to learn to consult the Lord for wisdom and revelation. Mothers, learn how to consult the Lord for wisdom and revelation. Look, verse 4 of chapter 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Listen, Deborah spent time with the Lord. The prophetess, the word prophetess is that Deborah heard from God and she spoke on behalf of God. She heard from God and she spoke on behalf of God. Now, how can you hear from God? You got to sit down and listen to God. Are y'all with me this morning? God, how does God speak? God speaks right through his word. Speaks through his word. And if you're going to be a victorious mother, if you want to consult with God, if you want to hear from God, mama, you got to go to the word of God. Got to go to the word of God. Listen, Deborah spent time with God, and then God gave her a revelation. Gave her a revelation. You got to pray, mother. You got to pray. You got to pray, mom. You got to talk to God. Got to talk to God. Listen, Deborah spent time with God. What a blessing when God speaks to you. When God speaks to you. Listen, now we live in an age, we've got televangelists, we got preachers on the radio and all of that, and y'all heard me say it over and over and over again. When I share with you all from up here, I challenge every member, anybody in the sound of my voice, to go home and check whatever I said to you and make sure I'm not telling you something crazy. And I understand that there are people on radio, and I know that there are people on TV, and it's good listening to all of them. It's good hearing your morning manna teacher give you revelation and give you word, but there ain't nothing like God speaking directly to you. There's nothing like God speaking directly to you. She heard the voice of God. She heard the voice of God, and then God gave her wisdom and revelation. And look, now, mother, it's not a time for you to lean on your own understanding. Woo, times are too dangerous to be leaning on your own understanding. When you're dealing with all that stuff you're dealing with, that knucklehead clowning and acting up, don't operate in your flesh. No, you got to hear from God. You still got to hear from the word of God. And you got to know how to talk to God and allow God to talk to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. But you got to go to him, mother. Got to go to him. Consult with the Lord if you want to be a victorious mother. And then number three, it's gonna get a little deep right here. Number three, if you want to be a victorious mother, you got to challenge the men in your life to fulfill their God-given role. Ooh, mothers. Ooh-wee. If you want to be a victorious mother, challenge the men in your life. The men in your life to fulfill their God-given roles. Now look at verse six. Verse 6, chapter 4. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera. He was the commander of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him back into your hand. Mother, if you want to be victorious, you got to challenge the men in your life. Challenge the men in your life. Listen, none of the men wanted to fight. They were AWOL, gone. And God put Barak on Deborah's heart. And Deborah went to Barak and said, look, you the man. You the man that God has chosen. God has chosen to lead his people. She went to him. Now listen. Oh, mothers, y'all hear me. Mothers, sisters, ladies, listen. You don't have to be married. Now, if you're married and that joker ain't doing what he's supposed to do, you got to challenge him. You got to challenge him. Even if you're not married, whatever man is in your life, whatever he's doing in your life, you got to be able to go to that man and challenge that man. Now, I didn't say go charge him up. I'm saying go challenge him. How do you challenge him? You go to him and say, whatever his name is, God's got a plan for your life. God has something for you to do. There's a role that God wants you to play in building his kingdom. See, we can't go to him sideways. We got to go to him the way God would have us go to them and speak words of life. See, they scared. Barak was scared. But she had to go speak words of life to Barak for him to understand that it wasn't about him. It wasn't about her. It was about what God wanted to do through them. And we've got to be able to speak to the men in your life. Listen, sisters, we have men in this church. There are men in this church that the Lord may put on your heart. And you need to go to that brother and say, the Lord put you on my heart. And I need help. I need help. The single women, we know, come on, y'all, let's be real about it. There's a shortage. There's a shortage of men. Thank you. There's a shortage of men. Brothers, we got work to do. Brothers, I need, brothers, just stand. All men, boys, brothers, stand. Amen. Give him a hand, y'all. Listen, ooh-wee. Y'all hear me. I need y'all to really hear me. There's a disparity in the church. There are a lot of singles and single ladies looking for a godly man. Most of y'all taken. And so, amen. They're looking for single men. Now, most of these cats out on the street, y'all, they not coming to church. So how will they get here? Look around. Now we're not going to them and say, man, I need you to come to church because there's some single ladies at church. No. We do not want them to get it twisted. But we go to them and say, brother, God's got a plan for your life. We got to be more intentional about going to get these brothers. They're not coming to church. Amen. Y'all going to have a seat, brothers. We got to help our sisters out. I was with someone this morning. They just share, I'm telling you, stuff that women go through, sisters go through. I was just with someone this morning sharing about a good friend of theirs whose ex-husband was paying child support, not really involved too much, running the streets, doing his own thing, and he got locked up. Now, that mother has no more child support. He's gone. And now she has to make it by herself. She has to make it by herself. But she needs some men to be challenged. And brothers, listen. When the woman challenges you, throw your pride away. Throw your pride away. Let it go. See the need and not the situation. Are y'all with me this morning? We want victorious mothers. We want victorious mothers. And women, you got to be able to challenge. She challenged Barak. She challenged him. Look, she said, she sent a call for Barak, son of Abinoam. But verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, get up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Look, Mark 16:7. After the resurrection, the angel told Mary and the other Mary, said, look, go tell his disciples and Peter. I like that. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. You know what the disciples were doing at that time? They were locked up in a room, scared. Scared. Locked up in a room. And he sent these women. The angel says, go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. Now, y'all know Peter. Peter's the one denied him. Peter was really messed up around this time. Peter needed a real good word of challenge and encouragement. And he says, go tell my disciples and Peter. And Peter. And what we have a generation of men who have gone and locked themselves in the room for fear. For fear of being a man, for fear of raising a child, for fear of being a husband. They've gone away scared. And they need to be challenged. They need to be encouraged. Have I got a witness? Look. Now, number three, ladies. Here it is. This is a big one, too. Be willing to compromise and change some things in your life. That's number four. Thank you. Be willing to compromise, sisters. You want a challenge? Be willing to compromise and change some things in your life. Are y'all with me? Verse 8 and 9, look, Barak said to her, if you'll go with me, then I'll go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And then she said, I will surely go with you. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Sisters, you got to be willing to compromise and change some things in your life. Listen. If you want to try to get him to do some things, you may have to change some things. Are y'all with me? You may have to change some things. Deborah was sitting under the tree judging. She had a good spot. She was doing her thing. And Barak says, now, you challenge me. I need you to come with me. It's got to be compromise. Can't always be your way. Somebody ought to say amen. Compromise and change. Listen. She could have had an attitude. You scared? You ought to be glad that I came to you. Come on, y'all. Come on. I ain't going nowhere. Compromise and change. It takes both sides to make it work. Amen. You can't keep doing the same old things and expect results. Sometimes you got to change your ways. Oh, amen. Listen. I mean, come on. Some people are single by choice. They choose not to change. Amen. Listen, be willing to compromise. She was willing to compromise. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm through. I'm already through. Look, last two things. If you want to be a victorious mother, you got to consider and call to mind God's past victories in your life. Ooh-wee. Consider and call to mind God's past victories in your life. Are y'all with me this morning? Look at verse 7. Go back to verse 7 of chapter 4. It says, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Now, y'all bear with me for a minute. Indulge me, if you will. Look, the Bible doesn't say that Deborah stopped and thought about what God had done in the past. But I just believe in my own spiritual mind right now that God had delivered Israel out of Egypt. And in this passage, it says that King Jabin had 900 iron chariots. And I just believe there's just something inside of me that just says Deborah had to stop and think that an evil ruler with chariots and water is a good mix for my God. Are y'all with me this morning? And the last time I thought about an evil ruler who had chariots involving water, my God did a mighty work. Because Pharaoh had chariots, and Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh's chariots followed God's children into the Red Sea. And God created confusion in their minds in the Red Sea. And the Bible says that the waters came down on Pharaoh's army and his chariots and drowned them in the Red Sea. If you read the rest of the story, you'll discover that God sent a torrential rain. And Jabin's army's chariots got caught up in the mud. And the rain came down. And they couldn't work those chariots like they really wanted to work those chariots. See, y'all, I love thinking about how my God always comes through for me. I always like to reflect back on what God has done in the past. When the enemy tried to get at me, when the enemy tried to have their way with me, God would throw them into confusion, and God will give me the victory. And mother, if you want to be a victorious mother, you got to stop sometimes and consider and call to mind what God has done in the past. And the same God that did it back then, the same God that worked the miracle in your life back then, the same God that made ways out of no ways back then, you got to stop and start thinking about what he's done in the past and allow God to have his way. Listen, Pharaoh's army thought they had God's children, but God drowned them in the Red Sea. King Jabin's chariots got right where God wanted them. Got situated right where God wanted them. God determined the place. He said, tell them to meet you at Mount Tabor. Listen, Mount Tabor was a dry land. And this is something that you got to understand about God. See, the Canaanites worshiped the god of Baal. Baal was supposed to have been the god of the rain. Baal was supposed to be in charge of the rain. See, God always liked to stack the trumps against us. He allows all of that to be stacked against us so that he can show how mighty he is, so he can show how powerful he is. And I don't care how bad your situation is, mother. I don't care what's going on in your life, mother. It may seem like the whole deck is stacked against you, but you are just in the right place for God to give you a victory. Even right then. And I dare you to just start thinking about what he's done before. And you don't have to wait till he come through. You can praise him even before the victory comes. If you know about the walls of Jericho, they began praising God before the walls fell down. Don't wait till the wall fall down. You can praise him right now for your victory. And then when the victory comes, you praise him even more. Here's my last point. I'm out of here. Listen, after God has showed himself mighty in your life, you need to compose and claim your own song. Listen, after God has shown himself mighty in your life, you need to compose and claim you a victory song. Deborah and Barak composed their own song. Look at verses 1 in chapter 5. Look at verse 1 in chapter 5. It says, then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day. They sang on that day saying, when leaders led in Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear. O princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord. Mama, you ought to have a song this morning. Oh, mama, listen, mama. You ought to have a victorious song in your spirit. Deborah began praising God. And then when she got to verse 7, see, now listen. There are certain songs that you may sing. There are certain songs that you really know about. But if somebody's real honest with me this morning, there are some songs that when that particular verse comes, you lose your mind. Because that's your verse. See, verse 7 was Deborah's verse. Deborah said, village life ceased in Israel. Nobody wanted to fight. Nobody wanted to do a thing. But God moved my spirit, and I got up, and I arose a mother in Israel. At that time, Deborah said, Barak, you've been singing this duet with me. But right now, this is my verse. This is my verse. I got to praise him. I got to give him glory. I got to praise his name for what he has done in my life. And mother, if you're in the house today, you ought to have your verse. You ought to have your verse, mother, that can't nobody tell it like you. Can't nobody praise him like you. Can't nobody sing it like you, because that's your verse. You know how good God has been to you. You know what God has done for you, and you ought to praise him. You ought to praise him. You ought to praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him for the victory. For the victory. That's my song. That's my song. You can't sing that one. That belongs to me. Hey. Hey. I'm talking about victory. 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 Mama, do you have a song? Mama, can you sing a song? Mama, can you praise him for how good he's been to you?